Well, welcome to another sermon podcast from St. Susie Baptist Church. My name is Dan Walls and I'm the pastor at St. Susie Baptist Church. And it's our desire to see all people from all walks of life come to experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And we pray this message goes some way to blessing you here today, but also goes some way to achieving that in your life here today. Once again, we do pray that this message is a blessing to you. Well, Lord God Almighty, we just want to come before you now. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that it does change and transform lives when we marinate our lives in it in our hearts, when we come to your word to actually and to embrace it. Lord, we ask that you would again enlighten us today as we dive into understanding more of this discipline and this rhythm, this habit that you ultimately call us to live out and embrace. Bless us, Lord, as we come to this now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, many of you know, some of you don't know, that I grew up in the Salvation Army. So I've always known Jesus. I've always followed Christ, thanks to my great parents at the back there. Give you a shout out for all you've done in my life. Kel's away this week, so or this weekend, so Mum and Dad have been gracious to help me out with the children. Otherwise, I probably would have been up here, been a nervous wreck this morning. But I grew up in the Salvation Army. And these two are the founders of the Salvation Army. Anyone know who they are? William and Catherine Booth. Pam had some time in the Salvos too, so she knows it all too well. But Catherine and William Booth were the founders of the Salvation Army. And they founded the Salvation Army all the way back in 1865. It's been around a very long time. Back then it was called the East London Christian Mission. And the Salvation Army, or the name Salvation Army, came to be in the 1870s. So it's been around a very, very long time. And I love this quote in a lot of what we're looking at today from William Booth. I am not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. This is the heart of this man, William Booth. But not only William Booth, but his wife, Catherine. And his wife, Catherine, was actually well known for her devotional practices. And when you start to see what these people say, like William and Catherine, you can just be blown away by their heart, I believe. There's a heart of people to see lives transformed in Jesus' name. And they actually had a heart to come alongside the most destitute in society, the down and outers, the people that didn't want the rest of society, didn't want to have anything to do with. So we're talking here about prostitutes, those who were gamblers, addicted to gambling, drugs, alcohol. Their heart was to come alongside these people and see their lives transformed, changed and transformed, not for their glory, but for the glory of their Lord Jesus Christ. And Catherine Booth's devotional habits and rhythms were well known. In particular, her desire to memorize God's word, memorize scripture. And she actually didn't go to school very much. She only had 2 years of formal education. But can you believe that in the first 12 years of her life, she had read through the Bible 8 times. Before she was 12, 8 times she read through the whole entire Bible. Hopefully it encourages us to move in this way a little bit more. But her passion and enthusiasm didn't stop at 12. It continued into her teenage years. And when she was 18 years of age, she wrote these words on your screen now. It says, above all, I am determined to search the scriptures more attentively, for in them I have eternal life. I have read my Bible through twice for light and understanding. Oh, may it be my meat and my drink. May I meditate on it day and night, and then I shall bring forth fruit in season. My leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever I do shall prosper. 18 years of age. You can get a glimpse into the heart of these people, this couple, and a desire to see the movement of God transform their communities around them that they served in. But I love her heart. I've always resonated with William and Catherine Booth. And I believe that we should share their passion for God's word, amen. As followers of Jesus, we should be striving to emulate their example, to be vessels of light and life. But the only way we can do that, guys, church family, is by marinating ourselves in God's word. This is the point of this series, amen? That we may come to a place where we so appreciate it that we are always striving to understand more about who God is and the role that we have to play in this world. It was actually her passion for God's word, to not just read it, but to memorize it, that actually was the very mechanism that mobilized her to do what she did. The Salvation Army is a global ministry now, a global church. And unfortunately, I've seen some lean times in the last couple of decades with the church side of things declining. But this is an organization, a church, a ministry that has impacted millions upon millions of people all across the globe. And it started here with a person's desire, or two people's desire, to memorize scripture, that it would so live, transform their lives so that they would come to live it out in their world. So with that in mind, we finish this series today, Hide This in Your Heart, and I hope it has been an encouragement to you of the importance that we come to God's word in such a way that it does transform our lives, that we come to know it in such a way that we can be used by God in any circumstance that he takes us, that we may be ready for when those questions come about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. This is the purpose for why we have been working through this series over the past month. But again, we need to follow the example of not just Catherine and William Booth, but many, many others who have strived to memorize God's word, to marinate themselves in God's word in order to see God transform their hearts and lives, and in turn do some incredible things in Jesus' name. Because the word of God changes lives, amen? The word of God changes and transforms lives. And you still may not be convinced that this is an important discipleship strategy or discipline that we are called to embrace, but did you know that remembrance or remembering was central to God's people? God encouraged his people to remember, to memorize continually throughout Scripture, particularly his people, the nation of Israel. And we're going to dive into that here today. But when we embrace this, when we look at the importance of memorizing Scripture, first and foremost here today, Scripture memorization reminds us of what God has done. Amen. When we embrace it in such a way, it continually reminds us of who God is and what he has done. This is, again, is something that the nation of Israel were commanded to do. Let's have a look at Deuteronomy 6:12. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Let's move to 1 Chronicles 16, verse 12 to 13, where God says to his people, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. Deuteronomy 8:18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. And in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Remembering was central to the command God gave his people. Amen. And not just the nation of Israel, but us as the church here today. We need to harvest this discipline of remembrance and remembering. Why? Because like the nation of Israel, we have short memories sometimes, don't we? We forget all that God has done in our lives. And so when we come to these passages and we start to memorize them, not only does it remind us of God's word, but reminds us of who or what God has done in our lives. Once again, I share this when I speak about people and what Jesus has done in people's lives. And I use the illustration a lot about when to help them realize what God has done. Have a think about when you're walking across the road and you see at the corner of your eye a car hurtling towards you. And you know that in an instant that if this car hits you, you will certainly die or be significantly injured. But as you see this car hurtling towards you, someone grabs your collar and pulls you out of the way, preserving and saving your life. I'm guessing that you're going to be indebted to that person, aren't you? You're going to be very thankful, very grateful. And it's going to actually probably change your outlook on life, knowing that you have a second chance of life. This actually happened to me once upon a time, not to that extent, but I was in my previous line of employment. I was walking to the train station in the city, and I was walking with a colleague, and I was about to cross the road, and all of a sudden he grabs me by the collar and pulls me back, and a car whizzed past me. Now, it wasn't going fast enough that it would have killed me, but it would have really hurt. And I still remember that to this very day. I was very thankful that he pulled me out of that line of that car in that moment. But if someone saves your life, you're going to be indebted to them. Amen. And this is the reality of what Christ has done for us, yes? And this should infiltrate our very being, every aspect of our lives. It should ultimately lead us to be continually thankful, grateful for what he has done for us. It should encourage us to live the life that he has called us to live. We need to do the work of remembering continually what he has done so that it does inform how we live. Amen. This is what community is. This is what we looked at last week, isn't it? It's the act of remembrance, that we may remember what he has done in going to the cross in our place for our sins. And this is what we read out last week when we had communion together. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in what? Remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant. Do this whenever you drink it in what? Remembrance of me. We are called to remember, to memorize, to make this a part of who we are. Remembering is a discipline we need to learn and embrace as part of our lives. Scripture memorization is something that we need to embrace within our lives because it reminds us of what God has already done. So what are the mechanisms? What are the strategies, the tools, the rhythms and routines that you and I have employed in our lives to remember that reality right there? Now, some of the things that I have put in place is obviously scripture memorization. I strive to do that when I can. But when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I do generally is just thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you that I can breathe a breath into this day, that I have life today. I spend time in God's Word to remind myself of who God is and what he has done. I harvest this attitude of thankfulness. I schedule time in my week to go down to Cogra Bay to sit in secrecy and solitude, sometimes in silence, and just thank God, remember him for what he has done. I do all of this to remind myself again of who God is, what he has done. And out of that, it generally leads to an attitude of gratitude, thankfulness, worship. This is what he desires from us, amen? This is the way of life he calls us to embrace, the way of life he wants us to live out. So again, what rhythms, routines can you and I employ so that we remember his goodness, his faithfulness? Scripture memorization reminds us of what God has done. And secondly, as I've already said, it reminds us of who God is, his character, his way of life, his very essence. Because what he has done for us, his people, is informed by his character. Amen. He doesn't do what he has done if he is not a faithful, loving father, if he's not a merciful God, a gracious God. That's who he is, and so it informs what he does. He's a God of love, as I said, a loving God, a forgiving God. We could go on and on about who God is, but one passage in particular that brings the very character of God to light is Ephesians 2:11 to 22, which reveals not only what God has done for us, but we also get significant insight into his very character as well. This is what it says. Remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth. The Gentiles, anyone who's not a Jew. The Jews were the inherit, they received the inherent promises of God. They were the God's people, his chosen people. And so if you're not a Jew here today, then we are Gentiles. We are everyone else, basically. You are Jew, God's chosen people. His covenant blessings were to be brought into action through the Jewish people and then the Gentiles, everyone else. But thanks be to God, as we see in this passage, that the Gentiles became part of God's salvation plan, each and every one of us. Formerly, remember that you were Gentiles by birth, by those who call themselves a circumcision. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. That's excluded from God's purposes. You and I were excluded from being part of God's family. But in Christ, it says, we were excluded from citizenship and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the one Father by the one Spirit. Again, this passage calls us to remember, amen? Remember who we were as opposed to who we now have become in Christ. Thanks be to God, amen? That should lead us to worship. That should lead us to be on our hands and knees, hands held high, thankful gratitude to God that we are now part of his purposes, his plans for this world as his church. One new humanity. And in that, we see the very character of God, amen? We see that he's a reconciling God, a God of peace. Shalom. He's a God that is whole. He's undivided, in other words. So not only do we look at that aspect of who God is and think, oh, that's great, God, but it actually helps us realize that that is who we are to become as well. We need to be advocates of peace, advocates of reconciliation. Again, he is undivided, he is whole, meaning that you can come to God on one day and he's the very same God you come to the next day. It's not like those people where one moment they're all happy and then the next they're like, whoa, what is with that person? They were fine yesterday. God doesn't wear a mask, amen? God is authentically himself. You can come to him at any time you want and you'll get the same God every second of every day. And the truth is that we need to become like that too, amen? We need to embrace our authentic selves, to be the people that God has created us to be. We don't have to be to pretend to be someone we're not. Amen? Be the person that God has created you to be. You and I are all uniquely different for a reason, for a purpose. So when people come to you on one day, make sure when they come back to you the next day, they're coming to the same person. We don't have to pretend to be people that we are not. God is holy, he's undivided. We have access to God by the whole unified Holy Spirit, meaning again that he's transparent with us. We have access to him whenever we want. Can you see how memorizing Scripture helps us realize this very nature, the very aspects of who God is? When we memorize it, we realize who God is. And not only that, memorizing Scripture doesn't just remind us of what God has done for us. It doesn't just remind us of who God is. It actually reminds us as well of our role in this world. It reminds us of who we are, who we are called to be in this world. And we can see that again from this passage in Ephesians chapter 2. Again, we were once excluded from the joy, the beauty of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, but because of what he has done, we now have access to him. We now can enjoy communion with him. Salvation has been extended to Jew and Gentile alike. We are now accepted and part of God's loving family, adopted as sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. This is who we are. This is our identity. And as we learn and remind ourselves more of who God has called us to be, we see that we have a very distinct calling and purpose, don't we? And we can see that in this psalm, again, Psalm 119, as we looked at in the first week, we see the psalmist has a very deep passion for God's word, doesn't he? A very deep desire to know it, to understand it, to marinate again his life in God's word, in scripture. He has a hunger for God's word. And in the face of trials and hardships, because of this, the psalmist is able to remain steadfast. In the face of persecution, he's empowered to remain resilient. When the people around him is conforming to the ways of the world, he remains passionate for his God and remains countercultural in his outlook, but also in his action. Memorizing and applying God's word does this in our life. And the final passage of this psalm is actually gives us quite insight into the psalmist's view of God's word. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. I have not forgotten them. I know them off by heart. Seek your servant because I have not forgotten your command. So when we look deep within our lives and when we look deep within our hearts, again, have we forgotten God's commands? Have we forgotten the way of life that he is calling us to embrace? Have you and I misplaced the way of life that he desires for us? Ultimately, if we are going to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ, if we are going to see lives transformed in our midst, then this is a discipline that we need to embrace, amen? A discipline that you and I need to live out. And it can feel overwhelming. We can often feel unworthy, useless. But yet I want to encourage us that God has a plan and purpose for you and I, yes? A plan and purpose to use you to reach others with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You and I, little old us, he wants to use you. He has a plan and purpose for you. And we obviously don't have time to dive in this more, but Mike and Graham give us the tools, the strategies that we can employ to make this task of scripture memorization a little bit easier for us so that we can be used for his glory. And they call this system the Kingdom Impact Memory System. So that when we live it out, we can make an impact in this world. When we embrace it, we can make an impact in this world. And this hopefully will encourage us, spur us on to be his hands and feet. And they give us a whole bunch of, well, in this system, which our life group has been recently employing, they give us a whole range of readings, devotionals, recommended readings, prayers that we can embrace as part of applying the scriptures that we're memorizing into our lives. And these scriptures, these readings, these prayers, they follow Mike's model that he gives us in Surprise the World. We've looked at this before. I encourage you to go back to our Surprise the World series or buy a copy of Mike's book. But he gives five habits, and he calls them five habits of highly missional people. And these readings that he gives us in the book, they revolve around this bells model. Have a think about when you shake some bells. It's pretty loud, isn't it? You know, you get the attention. Going back to the school, I can be in my office here and they ring a bell out to let the kids know that, you know, lunchtime's over. I can hear that in my office. It's pretty loud. Bells resonate in people's hearts and lives. Followers of Jesus ought to resonate in people's hearts and lives as well. Amen. And so these are the habits that he gives us. First and foremost, as followers of Jesus, we should be seeking to bless people in our life. To bless them by maybe sending a passage or a letter, just saying how thankful you are that they're in your life. Something simple as that. Buying someone a coffee. Shouting them lunch. We ought to be a blessing in people's lives, amen? Walking alongside them when they have lost a loved one, as we've heard about here today. We need to be a blessing to people in their lives. And the habit that we need to get into that Mike suggests is that we bless three people in our lives. Two who are followers of Jesus and one who does not know Christ. Bless three people in your life. That's a habit of a highly missional person. And the next one is eat. Eat with three people. I don't have to dive into this because we've spoken about this extensively this year. We should be spending time around the table more so. Getting to know people, our neighbours, inviting them around for a meal. So eat with three people in your life. Two who know Jesus, one who doesn't. L stands for learn. Learn about Jesus. Again, learn about his life, his teachings, so that we can model him, but also talk about him in our lives. The other L is listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen and spend time with him as to where he may be sending you, in your workplace, in the organization that you volunteer in. Wherever life may take you, understand or come before the Holy Spirit. What person are you seeking me to come alongside, Lord? And finally, S stands for sent. We need to understand ourselves as sent ones. Missionaries aren't just about people that go overseas, yeah? You and I, as followers of Jesus, are also missionaries called into this community. Again, this is just a helpful tool to send us on our way. The Kingdom Impact Memory System. I'm not going to explain it all. Grab a copy of the book. It's there for you if you are desiring to grow in this area. I'll leave it in your more than capable hands. But a real simple method and tool and strategy for us to apply to our lives. But as Mike and Graham finish up saying in their book, when we commit to memory the commands of God, the teachings of Jesus, the story of God's people, and the promises of God's vision for us and for the world, and the testament to God's faithfulness that pervades the scriptures, we are shaped by these chosen memories into the people who will follow God to the ends of the earth, bringing God's good news with them. We find ourselves committed to and capable of the kind of radical action in the world that can only come from God and gives glory to God alone. The question I believe before all of us here today as we wrap up this series and conclude this series is, do you and I want to be one of those people?